Genesis chapter 2. If you'll look at verse number 18, we'll read down through the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, as we share with the church tonight Bible principles. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each parent, these good parents that have dedicated themselves, dear God, to the rearing of godly children, Lord. And I pray that you would give them the information that they need to help their young people. I pray for every young person, dear God, as they, grow up here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, dear God. The Bible principles that are taught here from the pulpit, I pray it wouldn't be something that they just listen to, goes one in ear and out the other, but things that, Lord, that would be principles that they would grab a hold of and make their own and commit themselves to and get some convictions about, Lord. And I pray that you would guide, dear God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to each of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I was preparing for the sermon this morning on the second window message that we preached, the window of hope, and of course was reviewing Genesis chapter number 6 and the mess that mankind made of this world that God had created and the bad decisions that were made and the resulting consequences of those decisions. And as I was preparing that message, I knew that I'd hit just briefly this morning the idea and encourage this idea of patience and separation and let's not compromise and don't be unequally yoked together and all of those things. But one of the things that I've just committed myself to do through the years is to help our young people to grow up in this place and to make the right decisions, give them Bible principles that will empower them to make the right decision in choosing a mate for life. I've told this story, but I'll tell it again. It happened about halfway down that aisle right there, just about exactly halfway. Dr. Lee Robertson was here. He preached here in 1994. He preached again in 1995, right from the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And Dad assigned me as the assistant pastor to kind of just shadow him while he was in the service, make sure he was taken care of while he was here. And so I stayed pretty close to him while he was here. And so he came in and preached and did a great job, great job. I miss Dr. Robertson. I just miss him. And we were by ourselves for a few minutes then. Most of the people had left and they'd come by, and you folks were very kind. And he was standing there, and he turned around and said, "Tell me your responsibilities here." You know, he was always teaching, always training, always encouraging. It's just who he was. So I told him, well, I do several things, but one of the first things I mentioned was the fact that I was youth pastor here at this time. And boy, just immediately, right there, he grabbed me right here by the elbow. He said, "Brother Jerry," he said, "you've got to help our young people." He said, "Our young people are marrying out of the will of God. I'm talking about good young people, and they do right, but they get to that age, and then they marry out of the will of God." And he just looked at me with pleading eyes. Here's this man that was in his 90s and spent a lifetime. And as soon as I brought up the subject of young people, the first thing that he just wanted to share to me with a broken heart is the heartache of watching good young people grow up in a good church and then getting up to that age where they have to make the second most important decision of their life and not follow Bible principles and get it wrong. Folks, let me tell you something. This is big league. This is important. I'm not here to beat up anybody over your past. What I am here to do is try to tell and teach our young people Bible principles to keep you heading in the right direction, doing the right thing. But young people, I'm gonna do what keep a promise I made to Brother Robertson. I'll never forget, after he got done telling me that, he said, "Brother Jerry, you need to do something about this." And that's the kind of way Lee Robertson was. He just figured he's going to present to you an issue, and, you know, I need to cure this in America, amen. And so, but I will say this, I took it seriously. Lee Robertson only twice looked at me and told me I needed to do something, only twice. One time, it was in Cahokia, Illinois, where he stood me up in front of everybody and said, "Your dad's sermon on the symphony that was just preached, you get that into booklet form. That needs to be put in booklet form." And you know what? I got it in booklet form, amen. And he said that to me, and I took it seriously. Wish I could get every young person to listen to the old men of God and not just shrug off when they tell you something, because they've seen some things. And so you know what I did? I've done something about it. Let me just say this. I have done something about it. I haven't just done something about it here. I've done something about it across the nation. Terry Angel said this. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just going to tell you what somebody else said. But he said to me, he said, "Brother Ross, every time I preach with you, every time I hear you in a conference, you almost never go a camp or a conference without preaching on this idea of young people waiting for God's perfect will." And he said this. I didn't. He said, "I don't know of anybody in fundamentalism that have helped more young people get to the altar and marrying the right person the right way than what you've done through your writing and through your preaching." I don't know if that's true or not, but I hope Dr. Robertson looked down and said, "You know what? My words didn't just fall to the ground. A young preacher actually listened." And so I have dedicated a good part of my life to that. And glad to. Some of the happiest days are the at the Ross House is when we get emails and letters and from across the nation, and young people getting ready to be married, just recently married. There's a young lady that sent us an email, and on her wedding day, she's dressed in her white dress and in her ready room, and she stops and opens up a copy of Stay in the Castle and peeks over the top and has the photographer take a picture and email it to me and my wife and say, "I read this book when I was 14 years of age. I want you to know I paid attention to it. I listened to it. I waited for the right person. I'm going to go down the aisle in just a few minutes and marry a fine Christian young man. We're going to spend our life serving the Lord together." I'll just tell you, it don't get much better than that. It just don't get much better than that. So we've given our life to this. This is something we started teaching and training in earnest back in 1995. I came on staff in 94. We started teaching and training. Principles I'm teaching tonight and reminding you of tonight, I've taught scores and scores of times here through the years at Blessed Hope, preached them all over the country, written them so people can have them and look at them. I don't know what else to do on our end, but to tell you young people that I think I can stand before God with a clean heart on this. And you know what? You're going to have to stand before God on what you've done with what you've been given. And I just encourage each and every one. I'm talking about elementary kids that at the end of this message would come forward and just make a vow to God. Just settle it. Just say, "You know what? I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to follow Bible principles. I'm going to marry within God's perfect will, and I'm going to make sure I do it and do it right." And so we're going to talk about this. I'm going to teach or preach on this message tonight, why Christian young people marry out of God's will. Why Christian young people marry out of God's will. You have to understand why it's happening, I think, before you can turn it and keep it from happening. So when something's going wrong, the first thing I want to do is break it down and say, well, why is it going wrong? What's the issue? What's the problem? What is the devil doing? Because these aren't bad young people. A lot of these are not bad young people. They're not young people that have a track record of rebellion. But just at a key time in their life, the devil gets them thinking wrong, gets them off track, and gets them to make a mistake. You think, young people, boy, you better listen. 18 to 21, some of the most important decisions you'll make in your life's made between 18 and 21. And yet, how many young people, those are the years, the 3 or 4 years, that they get the farthest away from the Lord? And so you don't think there's not a diabolical plan involved? The devil knows that those are the key years to attack and to try to keep you from making right decisions and being in the right place and having your heart open to the right things. And so I'm going to share some things with you. I'm going to give you six words. Say, preacher, why do Christian young people marry out of the will of God? I'm going to give you six words, and from these six words, we'll have six reasons. This is from my personal observation, study of the scriptures, and just my, like I said, hands-on experience in helping young people. Hey, I'm going to say this. Sometimes, and I know the spotlight too many times gets on the ones that don't do right, but I'm going to tell you something. We've watched a lot of young people get to the right place on this and get to the finish line on this and make the right decision on this. So what happened to the ones that didn't? Number one, frustration. Write that word down, frustration. Frustration. You know what? There's within every young person a level of frustration. Frustration's the result of incompleteness. The Bible says, the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him. The Bible also goes to explain that the two shall become one flesh. 1 + 1 = 1. You say, that's not good math. Well, the reason that the math's wrong is because we've got our numbers wrong. It's not one complete person, or one complete person equals one complete person. It's one incomplete person, and one incomplete person that creates a complete person. Which means that all of us, young men and young ladies, are born incomplete. And there's a frustration that comes with that. Something's missing. I'm not happy. Something's missing. And that incompleteness causes frustration. And so the devil, he's also smart. He's been doing this a long time. And what he does is he begins to feed that frustration. The Bible says this, Proverbs 8:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, but and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Young people, one of the things you got to be aware of that's happening inside of you, all of you that are not married, is that there's going to be a level of frustration that's in your life. It comes from incompleteness. I just don't feel like I'm not complete. I'm not. There's something missing. Yeah, there is. There's something missing. And the devil will try to play on that. He'll try to amplify that. He'll try to magnify that frustration and then cause you to go to step number two. Here's the second word, desperation. Desperation. Frustration is just a normal thing. You mean it's normal that I'm frustrated? Yeah. Some of you teenage girls are going, woo, thank you. I thought there was something wrong with me. No, you're just a normal teenage girl. Teenage guys don't talk about it as much. We certainly don't have entire slumber parties where we sit around and discuss these things. And because guys are guys, they're not going to talk about it, but the same thing is happening inside of them. And so if you're not careful, that frustration, which is normal, if you're not careful, the devil will turn it into desperation. Frustration is a result of incompleteness. Desperation is a result of faithlessness. Why does somebody get desperate and feel like that they have to go make this happen? It's because they don't have faith in the Lord. And I mean this. I'm just going to boil it down to something that's so simple but so true. Do you trust the Lord in this area of your life? It's easy to say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths, except when it comes to finding who I'm going to spend the rest of my life married to. And I better take over and do that, because it's not happening. I'm frustrated. I don't see God putting anything together. And so the devil starts working on this area of desperation. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. If I could get the young people of our church to buy into one thing, and I mean with all your heart, is this. God has created someone just for you, and you can trust him to bring that person to you. The Bible says that the Lord God brought her unto the man. Can you trust, will you trust the Lord to bring you the person he made for you in his time? Can you trust him to do that? Is he trustworthy? Yeah, this is a big step. You mean, preacher, I don't have to go make it happen? No, you don't have to go make it happen. I don't have to, no. But what do I do? You wait. You be patient. You be patient. You have faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. I think God can do it. Next year's an exciting year. It just happens to be a year where a lot of things kind of hit milestones. So 2019, for me personally, for me and my wife, is a good time, going to be a good year, just because of some milestones. I surrendered to preach in 1979. So that will be next year, 40 years ago. In August of 1979, I walked the aisle right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and gave my life to preach the gospel and preach the word of God. And so 40 years of that, how about that? And you know what? Next year is the 25th anniversary of me coming to work here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on staff here. Came in 1994, so that's 25 years. But probably the most important for me is that next year is me and my wife's 35th anniversary year, 35th anniversary. Now, if a young lady can be born in North Dakota and a young man can be born in Southern Indiana, and both of them decide during their teenage years that they're going to hit an altar and put this thing in God's hands and trust Him in His time to do His work in His way, I suppose that if you did that, it'd still work for you today. I want you to close your eyes a minute and think about that young lady. You see the picture of her? She's in her wedding gown, and she's looking over staying the castle, and at 14 years of age, she made a decision and kept it, and kept it. And so can I say this? I want you to understand this. God is good. You can't come up with a better plan for your life than He has. You can trust Him. If anybody, don't trust yourself, but trust Him. I mean, you know, don't you trust us? Good night, I don't trust me. Come on. Come on. Better trust the Lord. Better put your trust in the Lord. You put your trust in the Lord, and He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. Frustration, desperation. Why do young people marry out of the will of God? Infatuation. Infatuation. You say, preacher, what's that? Infatuation is the result of impatience. Think about this. Frustration is the result of incompleteness. It's a real thing. You just can't let the devil turn it to bad in your life. Desperation is the result of faithlessness, not having faith and trust in God. Infatuation is the result of impatience. What do you mean by infatuation? I'm talking about young people. Boy, folks, God bless them. God bless them. You know what? They're doing what the culture trains them to do. But you're watching these young people all the way down in elementary, and all of a sudden they already in elementary begin to ride this romance roller coaster and boyfriend, girlfriend, and going with this person and breaking up, going with this person and breaking up, going with this person and breaking up. And they get infatuated with this whole thing about having a relationship. It becomes an infatuation in their life. And they spend their teenage years instead of preparing and trusting God, preparing to be what the person that they should be, they spend their teenage years pursuing instead of preparing. And honestly, that's the public school. That is just about everybody that goes to the public school. That is the world's culture. That is the testimony that they hear from their parents and sadly even their grandparents now, that is the way it's done. And they, you know, we've got young ladies, you see them come off the bus. And we got some good girls, but you know what? I mean, too many of them are boy crazy. They're just boy crazy. I'm talking about 12, 13, 14. They're just boy crazy. And we've got too many young men now. It's just girl crazy. Girl crazy. And I want to say this because I say it often and it needs to be heard. I'm not concerned about the young lady who chooses not to have a young man, a boyfriend. I worry about the young lady who cannot not have a boyfriend. That's the one that I'm scared for. I'm not worried about the young man that does not have a girlfriend. You know, the world will even say to you, young men sometimes, good night, how old are you? What's the matter with you? You don't have a girlfriend? What's the matter with you? Like something's the matter. Nothing's the matter with you. You trust in the Lord. You're waiting on God for His time. You're not going to fall for this idea of infatuation. Folks, look what Satan has done. I mean, he's totally sold out and marketed to our young people the idea of trying to wake you up in an area of your life that you should be asleep in. In Genesis 2:21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall in upon Adam. I encourage our young people, go to sleep in this area of your life. During your high school years, go to sleep in this area of your life. During your teenage years, go to sleep in this area of your life. But Satan will constantly try to wake you up in this area of their life. That's why when you start listening to the wrong kind of music, you know what the themes of the wrong kind of music is? Come on, listen to them. Listen to the themes. It's trying to wake something up inside of you. It's amazing. You think about this. Those of you that are closet country western sing, you know, you're still arguing this in your brain that there's nothing wrong with country western music. I want you to be honest and start listening to it and start listening to the word. If you're going to listen to it, at least be honest enough to acknowledge what you're hearing. How many country western songs, the entire theme of it, is some guy singing a song about her daddy didn't like me, and her daddy didn't think we were going to make it, and her daddy didn't want us together, and her daddy, and her daddy, and her daddy. And we got a bunch of young people being raised listening to the wrong kind of music that are teaching them, your mom and dad's not going to get it, they're not very smart, they've forgotten what it is to be in love, they want to control your life. You know, if you're going to find this romance, then what you've got to do is sneak behind mom and dad's back. And they're setting us up for that. The devil has these soft rock love songs, and he's trying to wake up something that ought to be asleep. Too many of you young ladies watching all these chick flicks all the time, all right? And you know what the devil's doing? He's trying to wake up something that ought to be kept asleep. So many sitcoms on TV have to do with young people that are involved in relationships. I mean, that's just the average young person on any sitcom. They have a boyfriend, they have a girlfriend, and they have a mom and dad that don't get it and don't understand, okay? Even sometimes unwise parents encourage and even try to set up these things during their teenage years. I've seen unwise youth groups that promote this idea of dating and all of this stuff, even churches. We just put our young people about 12 or 13 on this romance roller coaster, and it's up and down and up and down. And I've got a boyfriend that I don't. I got a girlfriend that I don't. I went with this person. It didn't work out. We broke up. Went with this person. We broke up. Went with this person. We broke up. You say, folks, that's relationship. You say, preacher, that's relationship practice. No, that's divorce practice is what that is. That's divorce practice. And so, young people, again, you know what you need? If you're a little boy crazy, you need to put that thing on the altar. I'm talking about if you're in your teenage years and you're a little boy crazy, you need to put that thing on the altar. Okay, you need to come to an altar and say, Lord, there's this area of my life I need to go to sleep in. And I need to stop worrying about this. I need to stop flirting around. I need to stop trying to get all the boys' attention all the time. And what I need to do is focus on becoming the kind of young lady that I should be so that when God does bring me his choice for my life, I'll be ready to be the best wife possible for him, okay? Some of you young men, way too infatuated, too much time sitting around, flirting around, talking, trying to get, you know, I don't get this whole thing. I'll just tell you right now, and I want you young ladies to all hear me. I know the world doesn't think a thing about this, but that's why we tell you not to look in the world for your mate for life. But this whole idea of a young man coming to a young lady and wanting her phone number is absolutely ridiculous. If you want to write down a phone number, go ahead and write down a phone number and hand it to him. And he'll say, oh, thank you. Oh, that's not mine. That's my dad's. Why don't you call him and tell him that you were trying to get my phone number? He'd like to talk to you. Well, preacher, if I go around doing that, I'll never get married. No, if you go around that doing that, you'll marry the right person. This whole idea that young men believe that they can inject themselves in the life of a young lady and never even go through the authority in her life. Yeah, but I'm 18, 19, 20. Yeah, and if you're a young lady, you're still under the authority of your father. And a young man that'll do an end around and try to get you and build a relationship with you without going through your dad and without going through your mom, I wouldn't give you a dime. I said I wouldn't give you a dime for him. I worry about our young ladies. We've got some young ladies that are outstanding. We got some young ladies because they're so different from the world, they get noticed. But young ladies, you please listen to your preacher. Sooner or later, some young man's going to try to do an end around on your mom and dad. And you're going to be so flattered, and you're going to think that's so awesome, and it's so cool to have this little secret But you don't understand how dangerous a situation you're in right there. Okay? If they are trying to do an end around, they're not interested in going through the parents, then that should tell you something. And so be careful. All right? Frustration, desperation, infatuation. I'll be careful, but I want to say this one. Write this one down. Stimulation. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 2. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. During this courtship period, there ought to be definite lines that you have that you stay in concerning this matter of physical conduct. Why is that important? Please listen to me and just listen to the logic of it, and then I'll support the logic with the scripture. By the way, the Bible's a pretty logical book, okay? Makes sense. If you think about it, it's not only right, it makes sense. Why would the Bible say that it's good for a man not to touch a woman? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. The type of touching they're talking about is touching that stimulates, touching that is romantic. When that begins, before that person is your wife or before that person is your husband, then all of a sudden it clouds judgment. It clouds your judgment. Do you know how many young ladies married a young man because they mistook lust for love? They mistook lust for love. Okay? I'm in love with him. No, you have certain God-given desires that you keep allowing to be stimulated that shouldn't be stimulated until you're a husband and wife. And you know what? Once that starts, you can talk to me about crack cocaine, you can talk to me about heroin, you can talk to me, but that's a drug that's stronger than anything I'm talking about here. And I've watched young ladies do the stupidest thing and young men do the stupidest thing, and everybody around them say, don't do it. But you know what? They have allowed an area of their life to be energized that God did not intend for it to be energized. Now, I know what the world's going to tell you, okay? Oh, you crazy people down at Blood, Soul, Bat. You know what they tell those young people? Not even to hold hands. Not to kiss until they get to the marriage altar. You know what that forces you to do? Number one, let me say this. It's biblical, all right? Now, concerning the things wherever you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. The Bible says that if you know to do good and you do it not, it's sin in you. So it's good for a man not to touch a woman. It's a Bible principle, okay? And again, it's talking about the kind of a touch that is a stimulating touch, all right? So now, not only that, but watch this. What if we take that off the table? Now you're going into a relationship and you're going into a courtship and you're going into building a relationship that's not based on stimulation, not based on the physical, but, well, preacher, what's left? Honestly, the world would be like, what else is there? That's how they would respond to this. Well, because they think lust is love. Well, I don't know, maybe you'd have to talk. Maybe you'd have to share what the principles of your life are. Maybe you'd both have to exercise temperance. Okay? Maybe you'd have to share ideas and philosophies of life, and maybe you'd have time to find out whether or not they're even saved. Okay, I'm going to say it. You say, well, independent fundamental bet. I know. We've been preaching against necking and petting and this type of stuff all the way back forever, and we're still right about it. We're right about it because the Bible's right about it, okay? And so, you know, I deal with this, and I'd urge you to. I mean, you know, I urge you to. But the seven royal laws of courtship absolutely have steered so many young people to God's perfect will. And this whole idea of not giving in to this. Listen, you say, preacher, what are you saying? As a single young lady or young man, you ought to institute a personal no-touch rule in your life and then enforce it when it comes to this area of your life. What is a personal no-touch rule? It means you don't touch members of the opposite gender who are not immediate family, nor do you allow them to touch you in a way that is romantic. The Bible tells us that this will guard you against fornication. A personal no-touch rule will require you to build relationships based on friendship and respect instead of lust and selfishness. If a young man or a young lady claims to love you, then they will be committed to protecting your purity and your reputation. Oh, but he loves me. Then he should be committed to protecting your purity and your reputation. Okay? It's impossible to maintain a pure mind without maintaining a high standard of physical restraint. Come on now. This is basic stuff. It is impossible to maintain a pure mind without maintaining a high standard of physical restraint. No young person, oh, I can handle it. No, you can't. You can't handle this area of your life. Okay? You cannot decide that you're going to start handling members of the opposite gender without stirring both yours and his or her own personal passions. The Bible tells us not to defraud somebody. The word defraud means to stir up desires that cannot be satisfied in a correct, righteous, and biblical manner. There's a time for that. It's a wonderful time. These are good things. God made us this way, but those things are to be reserved for marriage. That's the time for these things. That's the time to develop a physical relationship is after marriage, not before. To everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. I say this, I want to say it again. If a young man is trying to get you as a young lady to involved in this arena of life, and then he wants to tell you that he loves you, you do not love the people that you love. You do not put them in the crosshairs of God's judgment. Okay, if you love me, you would. No, if he loved you, he wouldn't be pressuring you. Okay? One step of romance. Oh, preacher, but we're not going to go all the way. Holding hands, and that's it. That's all you're going to do. That's all you're going to do. You're just going to hold hands. But why don't you be honest, okay? I was born at night, not last night. The ones that begin to hold hands, pretty soon, next thing you know, they're hugging and they're kissing and they're petting, and then next thing you know, they've got a run testimony. Now, I recently read USA Today, 85% of single 17-year-olds, this breaks my heart, 85% of single 17-year-olds have admit to having already lost their purity. What's happened? If Christian young people insist on following the world's path, world's dating standards, then you'll live with the results of those standards. By the way, they've only got a 15% success rate. Well, there's no way to guarantee it. Yeah, there is. 100%, let me give you this, 100% of young people who institute a personal no-touch rule and enforce it arrive at the marriage altar morally pure. 100%. It's kind of like the guy that I used to golf with, and I'd putt a putt and I'd leave it short, not get it to the hole. And he told me, he said, you know what? It's a proven fact that 100% of all short putts never go in. That's brilliant right there, buddy. That's brilliant stuff. Yeah, are you listening to me? What I'm saying is this, listen to me. If you want 100% guarantee in this area of your life, listen, I've watched good godly young people. And because they're good, godly young people, and because they get to a certain place in their relationship, they think it's all right to start this just a little early. I can't tell you how many of them mess up before they get married. Okay, why don't you just decide to reserve this area of your life? Why don't you decide? And by the way, if you are an adult and you did this before, as far as that's not the way I did it, and we're married and we're fine, I want to, by the way, sit down and let me ask you some hard questions. And I shouldn't have to, because I think the Holy Spirit ought to be telling you something right now. I think there ought to be some things that we challenge our young people that would end up in better results than some of us that want to defend it because we did it. Okay? Yeah, and by the way, you may be the 15%. You still want to risk your child becoming one of the 85%? And so, just, you know, this whole idea of stimulation, read the book, read the 7 royal laws. Number 5, duplication. Duplication is the result of independence. Satan will bring you a counterfeit, duplication. Okay, I've made this statement. I promise you it's true. Before the Lord brings you the right one, the devil will try to bring you a counterfeit. Okay? Oh, I've seen him get good Christian young ladies on this, good Christian young men. I mean, he couldn't get them in any other area of their life. But you know what? They get a little frustrated. They get a little desperate. They get infatuated. They start crossing lines and getting stimulated. And the next thing you know, they marry somebody, and it was not the person God had for them. And guess what? The rest of your life, you missed it. You missed it. You missed it. By the way, you're married now. So you're going to have to make the best of it. You're married now. You're going to try to work it out. You're married now. So whether or not it was God's perfect will, it's God's will now. But I think it would be a lot better to be able to wake up every morning and saying, you know what, we did this right. We did it right. We did it right. Duplication. Be very careful. That's why you need to lean heavily. Please listen to what I'm going to say. Why do so many young people fall for this? The devil sending a counterfeit before the Lord sends right. How does that work so often? Because, listen to me, because duplication works because, and it's a result of independence. Now please, please, please hear me. Please hear me, okay? God's put people in your life that'll help you in this arena of your life. But a young person gets to be 18, 19, and you know what? They put it in their mind. You know what? Nobody's picking this person for me. Well, nobody's trying to pick this person for you. But for you to make a decision at that point in time in your life that's going to affect the rest of your life, and you've got people around you that are godly people, you've got a godly mom and dad to give you some counsel, you've got a godly pastor. That's why in the book, Seven Royal Laws of Courtship, one of the things that I say is this. You know what? One of the seven royal laws, one of the things you ought to do is you ought not to ever make a decision to marry somebody unless you have the approval of your parents and approval of your pastor. And by the way, that's not your parents and your pastor choosing your mate for you. But if your parents or your pastor see something that causes them great concern and you don't see it, well, I just don't see it. They just don't know him like I know him. They just don't know her like I know her. Let me read you a verse, Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And one of the great things about involving the spiritual authorities in your life in this decision is that, you know what, they can see some things that's very hard to see. You know, when I had the discussion with Lydia, the young lady I wrote the book about, Stay in the Castle, one of the things I say in that booklet is that she was feeling so much she couldn't think right. And you can start feeling so much that you're not thinking right. Your heart overrides your head. The next thing you know, your emotions are in the driver's seat making lifelong decisions, but those emotions change. Emotions change. Okay? And all I can say is this, you know, if you're going to go through this process, you ought to involve your parents in the process. And mom and dads, please, please don't be one of these parents that are, you know, have bought into this nonsense that, you know, you believe in arranged marriages and you think that you're the one that ought to choose. Stop that nonsense. Well, that's the way they did in the Old Testament. All right. They also had multiple wives in the Old Testament. Are you going to go with that also? No, if you're going to sign up for the things that led to marriage, then you ought to sign up for the Old Testament things that happened after marriage. It's funny, the same parents that want to do that didn't want their parents choosing their mate. All right. Come on, kids, this is your chance. Jump in, man. Yeah! I had to wake them up, man. Now here's the balance, young people. Here's the balance of it, okay? You can swing all the way over here, and you can say, nobody's telling me anything. This is my heart. Nobody knows but me. And you're not thinking that. You're just repeating the words to the music you've been listening to. Okay, your heart's not saturated with this book. It's saturated with the wrong kind of movies and the wrong kind of music and the wrong kind of friends that are giving you the wrong kind of advice. But it's all coming from your brain. Okay. And I'm not asking you to swing all the way over here. where we say, okay, I'll tell you what, you know, all right, Sammy, don't you worry about this. Me, your mom, and dad have this figured out. When you're 47, we'll bring the guy. And we've already worked out a deal. And okay, somewhere here's some sense, folks, in the middle. Come on, church, come on. Okay, where parents say, if there's something that we're really concerned about, we ought to feel like we can express it and be heard. Okay? I mean, some of you, come on now, if you're not careful, anything anybody tells you that's not what you want to hear, you're more determined to do it. You are in such a dangerous place. Okay? Okay? And at this point over here, I think, you know what? This ought to be a communication. This ought to be prayed over together, parents and child together. The Holy Spirit's not going to tell three people three different things. And I think, you know, you work together on this and you pray over it. And parents, you're not marrying them. And by the way, you didn't raise them for you. You raised them for somebody that God has for them. And so, you know, you want to step back and be the assist in this. They have to decide. This is God's will for their life. God's going to tell them. But young people, listen to me. Remember, the devil's going to send a counterfeit. I didn't say he might. I said he's going to. And if you are hiding, you have to hide them from your parents and hide them from your pastor, that probably ought to be an indication that, you know, doing. Okay? I mean, if it's God's perfect will, why in the world would you need to sneak around on? Why do you have to have the secret phone numbers? And why do you have to not? I'm not talking about this, and I don't want anybody to know about this. Stay with me. Duplication, and it happens over and over. And this is heartbreaking. Frustration. Desperation gets others. Infatuation gets others. I mean, it seems like some young men and young ladies just, man, they get boy crazy, girl crazy. They can't turn it off. It'll drive them off a cliff. Stimulation. I don't think there's anything wrong. Well, what's right with it? What's right with it? Duplication. Man, you've done well. You've stayed on track. The devil brings somebody into your life, and the next person that you could meet, if you'd make the right decision, is probably God's perfect will. And the devil's rushed in somebody right ahead of them. It's your life. Just remember, you got to live it out. You got to live it out. The last word is insurrection. Why do some young people marry out of God's will? Because they just absolutely get a rebellious heart and they're not listening to anybody. Insurrection. Insurrection is the result of arrogance. Rebellion against the will of God, rebellion against a mom, rebellion against a dad, rebellion against the Bible principles, rebellion against a pastor. I'm going to do what I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me. And so, you know what? Instead of being like Adam and you stay asleep and you wait for God to bring the one, I mean, not only do you not sleep, but I'm leaving the garden. I'm not waiting around here. I'm going to go find a person I want to find. So you leave the garden. You leave God's perfect will for your life. Okay. Wow. Wow. So you graduate from high school. I'm preparing all you young people. You graduate from high school one of these days. And you know what? Now you get to make some decisions on your own. And you can pull and play the 18 card, and I ain't listening to anybody because nobody knows except me what's best for me, and you'll probably crash and burn. You just will. Or you could say, you know what? I'm 18, 19, 20, 21. There has never been a more important time for me to stay in God's perfect will for my life. There's never been a more important time for me to understand how deceitful the devil is. There's never been a more important time for me to be close to my mom and dad and close to my pastor. There's never been a more important time for me to follow the principles of God's will and not compromise on anything. Because why do some young people miss God's will? Insurrection. They leave the will of God. They leave the will of God. We've got kids right now in that 19, 20 through 23 or 24 that, you know, grew up here, went to school here, whatever. And they are entering into romantic relationships. And you know, one of the questions I always want to ask them, where'd you meet them? Where'd you meet them? Where'd you meet them? Once you leave the will of God and you get out of God's will, that means you are somewhere other than the will of God. If you're somewhere other than the will of God, God doesn't take the perfect choice for you out of God's will to meet you out of God's will. And so a lot of young people end up meeting and marrying somebody because they're not where they ought to be. They're not where they ought to be. And so take these Bible principles. Think about them. Okay? I watch young people not listen to advice, not listen to the preacher's advice. You know what, folks? I used to make senior appointments. Parents, I'm done doing it. I'm tired of seniors coming in and almost acting like they're being punished because they're coming to their senior appointment. First of all, parents, if you don't want me involved, then I'm leaving it up to you. Okay? I can't imagine being in my senior year and making all the decisions for my life and not going in and sitting down with my pastor and talking to him about it and getting his advice. I can't even imagine it. I said I cannot even imagine it. I can't imagine a young lady getting into a relationship with a young man and not sitting down with the preacher and talking to him about it. I can't even imagine it. I can't imagine a young man getting ready to go off into, but I want to tell you something. I can name names. If I was cruel enough, I could name names right now of young people. Had they listened to their pastor, had they gone to do the 1 year of Bible college. But instead, they're where? Okay, where are they instead of there? Who did they meet instead of who they could have met? I'm not saying everybody's going to meet your forever mate in Bible college, but I have not, parents, I want you to hear me. I have not changed my mind about the importance of the 13th year. If you choose to direct your kids a different way, then direct them a different way. Okay, you know what? I'll bow out of the way. But I watch young people come to that point in time. I could tell you ones that I mean were this close. And the minute they made the decision not to do that, they started making a bunch of other decisions that have led to them being involved with people that they have no business being involved with. Okay? What's it going to hurt? If there's somebody in this church, adults, listen to me, and you're walking around whispering in young people's ear, and you're that great wise counselor that's telling them that you don't think a year of Bible college is important, I'm going to ask you as politely as possible, unless they're your own kid, you butt out of it. I haven't assigned you to be the source of all wisdom to go around counseling our young people. And I don't care if you're 22 or 92. Butt out of it. You're not their pastor. You're not their parent. Butt out. By the way, why is the idea of them going to Bible college such a bother to you? Why does that bug you so much? Think about it. Yeah, I mean, everybody gonna find their mate here? By the way, I'd be all right with that. I've always said I'd like to see more Blessed Hope kids marry Blessed Hope kids. I'm not a matchmaker. I don't want anything involved in that. Come on, I don't do the Hallmark Channel. I'm not. God can do it, but I think that ought to be somewhat normal around here. I'm not against that. But you get to thinking about this. If you're not going to find them here, where are you going to find them? You're going to find them down at the university? You know, get a summer job at McDonald's and meet them there? What if I told you that all the way across the country, there are young people that are committed enough to wanting to serve God with their life that they said, from all over the nation, from independent fundamental Baptist churches that encourage soul winning and standards and King James Holy Bible and marriage principles that work and family principles that work, what if I told you that there's a gathering place for them? And that God has used those gathering places to help thousands and thousands and thousands, including your pastor and his wife, find God's perfect will. But you're going to just sit in Jasonville. And because now you've put it upon God to bring that person to you, because there's a lot of reasons for an independent fundamental Baptist separated soul winning kid to wander into Jasonville. I'm here to find a wife. You know, I'm saying, those of you that's got a better plan, come talk to me about it. They're going to stay here and meet who where? I mean, you know, Cruz Linton. Pull over in the empty parking lot, sit on the front of your, that's probably a God's plan. Where are you going? What's the plan? You know, you're smarter than the preacher. You don't think Bible college is a big deal. It's a waste of money, waste of time, blah, 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 blah. Who are you meeting and where? Now, again, does everybody go to Bible college? Is that God's plan? No, but there's a lot of them that it has been. Worked for you, Brother Young, didn't it? Brother Chad, it worked for you, didn't it? Huh? What do you think about that? What do you think about that? You know why Chad Gordon went to Bible college? Because he was in search of academic excellence. That's all he cared about. Wisdom, books. You ask him the question. You know what he'll tell you? I went to Bible college because my parents and my pastor wanted me to go a year. Okay? Serving the Lord. Married somebody way over his head. Good family, making a difference for Christ. But let's do your plan. How's that worked out? Okay, again, if you're going to be critical, I've taken too much time, but sometimes preachers just need to shoot a shot over the bow so somebody will duck down for a while. We put too much in these young people to have too many different, several trumpets blowing different sounds around here. If it's your child, and you say, preacher, I'm going to give them advice other than what you probably would, I will step out of it and never say a word to them except do what your mom and dad says. How about that? You know why? Because you're the primary. By the way, you better think about it, because you're also the one that's going to stand before God and look in the eyes of Jesus Christ. You better take it seriously. By the way, you might want to think about why is it that I'm so adamantly against what my pastor sees so clearly. Okay, but again, you know what I'll do? I'll just look at your kid and say, hey, you know what? You talk to mom and dad, whatever they tell you to do, you just do it. Now, I'm not going to play tug of war. I will not do it. I won't play in tug of war with the children here and the young people here. I'll let go every time. They're yours. But I think it would be awfully smart that maybe not only kids come in for a senior appointment, but parents come in for a senior appointment. Be nice if all the kids around here was hearing the people that love them the most pointing them and talking and saying the same things. Okay? Right. Is it 100% preacher, always God's perfect will for every young person to go a year to Bible college? There's an occasional reason that I would say no. But you know, an exception to the rule is an exception because it's an exception. And usually the person that thinks their exception is not the exception.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. And so I just, man, oh. I mean, what do you do? Come on. I mean, we pray for them while mama's carrying them. That's what we do at Blessed Hope Baptist Church here. Mom and dad, they bring them to the front. The preacher holds them up and lets the little kids look around at the church and has prayer for them. And then it's all hands on deck. Sunday school teachers and children's workers and nursery workers. And I mean, from the everybody, it's a team effort all together for 18 years to get that young person to the point where you can step out on your own and have the wisdom of God. And by the way, the wisdom to know that you don't have all the wisdom.
Yes, sir.
and a willingness to listen and a humble heart and a willingness to listen to counsel and seek counsel and a willingness to sometimes do things that maybe you don't even want to do, but those in authority that see things a little clearer than you want you to do. And you start doing these things, and you know what? God in his time will work things out for you. Oh, I want to see it happen. I want to see it happen. Rich Stoltz, my buddy, he's in heaven now. How did that happen? Good man. As good a man as I ever met on this earth. A friend, a real friend. And we're both about 20. And it's late on a Sunday night. And we've done the whole bus ministry thing all day long. And when I say all day long, I mean all day long. And we meet at a checkpoint. And Brother Rich says, Brother Jerry, I got to drive this empty bus back to the bus center. And I'm toast. I don't know if I can stay awake. He said, I'm just being honest with you. I said, I'll ride with you. So we rode. I stood up on the front. We talked all the way. He started talking about Miss Susan. She was one of my lady bus workers. He told me, I've been praying about this. I've been talking to her. I think I'm getting the peace of God about this. I think that she's the one God created for me. I said, man. He said, you're a bus captain. What do you see? I said, I'm going to tell you something. She's the real deal. She is the real deal. Loves God, walks with God, loves kids, gives her heart. She's the real deal. I said, if that's God's will, he just gets quiet. And he says, finally says, Brother Jerry, I said, yeah. He said, I haven't always done everything right, and I haven't always gotten it all right. But this one thing, I want to do it right. I said, me too. We got to the bus barn. We got on our knees on that empty bus together. We prayed. He prayed for me. I prayed for him. God, help us not to marry out of the will of God. Help us to be patient. Help us to listen to good advice. Help us not to miss it. Help us not to bring shame to your name. If you can get there, you're probably going to be fine. If you can't bow a knee to God and say those things, you're probably going to marry outside the will of God. Because pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a... Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these wonderful principles, dear God. I pray, dear Lord, that I've preached and taught a good biblical balance, supported by good biblical principles. These are safe principles, good principles. They're proven principles. They get young people to the marriage altar pure. They get young people to the marriage altar in God's will, in God's time. Lord, thank you. Not an easy time of life. I hope that no young person feels like the preacher just don't understand. It's not an easy time of life. Everything you feel hugely, strongly. Watch over our kids. Please, Lord, watch over them. Help them to do this the right way. Protect them, dear God, from the devil and his plan to destroy this part of their life. Lord, I just ask, dear God, that you'd help the parents, Lord. Bless them. Man, we've got good parents here. Got good parents. Love their kids. They love their kids. We've got good parents here. They're trying. We've got good young people, good-hearted young people. But Lord, even so, the devil's so good at what he does. Watch over them, Lord. Take care of them, please. Lord, we love them. And we'll pray for them. I ask, dear God, that you direct their lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name.